Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
If you are in Arizona, you live in Arizona, you're an Arizonan.
Yes.
I didn't even think there was a debate about that.
There shouldn't be.
But I thought there is a right and wrong. Okay? Like, Arizonan is right, Arizontonian is wrong or something. You know, like, there is a way to do it and there is a way not to do it, but apparently there is some debate.
Yeah, you know what? Our TV partners over at ABC 15 dove into this debate a bit.
There is no right or wrong.
ASU professor and linguist Ellie Van Gelderen says we were actually Arizonians first. The Oxford English Dictionary shows the earliest recorded reference in an 1857 article from a newspaper in Evansville, Indiana, of all places. The term was used in territorial newspapers, too. The Tubac-based newspaper The Weekly Arizonian started publishing in 1850. First reference of Arizonan doesn't show up until 1866 in a Jackson, Mississippi newspaper.
All right. So in essence, what the ASU linguist is saying is they're both right. No, they're not.
Well,
no, they're not.
What I don't understand is, do you get to determine what it is, or is there some sort of like language rules that determine it?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Same thing. I mean, we have this debate with like Casa Grande or Casa Grande, you know, what do you say kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
if you're from here or you're not from here. If you're from here, it's Casa Grande.
If you're not,
Casa Grande.
Casa Grande. But I mean, we have a printout here of what they call people from every state.
Yeah.
And on it, it lists both for the state of Arizona.
We are
Arizonan and Arizonian.
Yeah. When I see Arizonian, I roll my eyes and go, you're not from around these parts.
I'm with you on that. But what do you say? All right.
Okay.
We asked you on our open mic line. Mm-hmm. And well, here are your responses.
I'm ready.
Hi, my name's Carissa. I was born in Phoenix at Good Samaritan Hospital. I grew up in Tempe, and I am an Arizonan. I have been an Arizonan for 37 years.
Here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We got more calls on the open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
Morning, guys. I use the term Arizonan.
Yeah.
Arizonan sounds like a noun. Arizonian sounds like an adjective.
Okay.
I'd have to go back to Miss Beechler's English class to go through the proper
thing. Rudy Vasquez, and I'm from Glendale, Arizona, so I would be considered a Glendalian Arizonan.
Glendalian?
Is it Glendalian?
Is it Glendalian?
Is it Glendalian?
I did not know that.
That sounds, by the way, that sounds a hell of a lot ritzier than Glendale is.
Yeah, well, aww.
Sorry.
Wow.
Did I say that out loud?
Man.
Glendalian.
Jeez.
Woo,
Glendalian,
that sounds downright royal.
Arizonian.
Yeah.
Wow. I like it. But apparently, the Arizonan and Arizonian aren't our only two options. We missed a few.
So James from Gilbert,
hi, James.
You forgot about the good old zoner.
Zoner?
Zoner. Well, like people in San Diego call us zonies.
Hi, my name is Debbie Adkins Fisher. I live in Phoenix in the Ahwatukee area.
Oh, okay.
And I know this isn't one of the choices, but we've been here 25 years, and I call myself a zony.
A zony.
Bye.
I always kind of thought
a zony is like disparaging.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too.
Well, I lived in San Diego for a little while, and believe me, I heard it, you know, where it was like, you zonies. And they weren't saying it like,
right.
Welcome. No. Like,
so you wouldn't call yourself a zone.
No.
That's always been my perception.
I agree.
That when you go to San Diego, you got all the zonies that come here, right? And
they aren't
screw
praising
things
you.
Up.
No.
So I wouldn't refer.
Okay.
You've lived here longer than I have.
I have.
Have you ever heard the term zoner?
No.
I haven't either.
Never in my life.
Okay.
But I was today years old when I heard zoner as an example of people that live
I think from our open mic line here, we have a clear winner, and it's Arizonan. And I really enjoy the Glendalian Arizonian as well.
Glendalian!
Arizonan. Never heard of folks from Arizona called zoners. And when I've heard of zony, it's not a good term.
Are you a Gilbertonian? Gilbertian. Gilbertian. What do you call people from Gilbert?
People who live in Gilbert.
No!
Yes.
What do you call people from Gilbert?
I live in Gilbert. I'm from Gilbert. The bear.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm from Gilbert.
I live in Phoenix. I'm a Phoenician.
Gilbertian?
Gilbertian.
I like Gilbertian. Let's go with
Don't
that.
Don't call me a Putian?
Yeah, like Lilliputian, Gilbertputian.
What's a Lilliputian?
It's a thing.
What is it?
I don't know.
Right, exactly. So people why would you call me that?
People from Lilliputians.
You don't even know what it is.
Wait, it's a name. Gilbertonian? It's probably Gilbertonian, isn't it? Yeah, what is Mesa? If you're from Mesa.
Mason?
That can't be
you're
it.
You're Mason?
Can it? Mesite?
I always get kind of confused with Mesa, Ron Wolfley over on Arizona Sports. For the longest time, I thought he was saying, you know, Masononians, but it's actually Basinonians.
Yes.
I know I'm confusing everybody with everything. My favorite, though. I have a favorite. Yeah. Gosh, I think this was last year. I got to paint the picture for you. You're in Tempe, okay? We've got a young girl. Let's call her like a college student.
ASU sophomore.
Who is behind the wheel of a car. She's driving.
She's driving.
Boyfriend is sitting shotgun.
Got it.
And is rolling tape, so to speak. He's videotaping her and asks her, what road is that?
What's the name of this street?
Basiline. All right.
Got it.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
No.
What road is that?
How do you say that, Morgan?
That street?
Yeah.
Basiline.
Basiline.
Basiline with a B.
Basiline with a B.
Basiline with a B.
Or baseline.
Or baseline road. Or
Basiline with a B.
Basiline with a B. She's so mad at him. It's Basiline with a B. What part of Basiline with a B don't you understand?
So from time to time, people will read things and either put the wrong
emphasis on the wrong syllable
or will misread them. And
I do it all the time. I know.
I was running a radio station in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And we have these. You do them. We have our little sponsor liners brought to you by Carol Roy.
Yeah.
You get these. Mm-hmm. And we had one that was from Valvoline. Motor oil. People who know use Valvoline, right? That's what it said.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in my office minding my own business. I've got the radio station on the back.
Of course, you're listening to how.
And I hear my friend Richard Humpty Vision say, "This is brought to you by Vaseline. People who know use Vaseline." I had to take a knee. I was shocked, stunned. I thought we might lose the license. I walk into the studio and I pick up the little, we have them on pieces of paper, and I go, what does that say? Ah, Valvoline, dude. Yes, Valvoline. He goes, but you know, people who know use Vaseline. I go, would you stop? People who know use Vaseline.
Vaseline with a B.
Vaseline with a B. Unintentionally the funniest thing he's ever done in his life.
If I was driving and I heard a DJ.
I almost threw up. It's Valvoline. Valvoline! Work with me! Right, so anyway. So we've got that all screwed up. We still don't know what to call people from Glendale. We don't know what to call people from Gilbert.
Why do I feel like I'm like a bad person?
You live there. Yeah, I would think if you live in the city, you know what it's
just
called.
I live there. It's the city of Gilbert. Where do you? I'm living Gilbert.
Chandler, people from Chandler. Chandlerites.
Tempe.
Ahwatukeans.
Oh my goodness.
Tempe.
That's what I just said. Tempians.
Tempins.
Tempites.
Boy, deep thoughts by Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. Hey,
I want to know.
If you didn't get enough of them already, well, you can always get them wherever you want at your convenience by subscribing to our podcast. Yeah, I'm sure you want to do that right now. It's brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers.
Wait, don't subscribe right now. This isn't a good example. Okay? This is a horrible example. By the way, the segment brought to you by Vaseline. People who know. Use Vaseline. The coronavirus, talking about hilarious, Pamela, is continues to expand. And there is more evidence out there that maybe China isn't being as truthful as they should be, as we need to be as citizens of the world.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
All right, good news, bad news is we do have people chiming in on what you call people from Gilbert.
How bad do I feel that I don't know? I live there.
Brady from
Homeward's
Morning Sickness. He just texted me. How about Gilbillies?
I used to like you. You're on the list.
And then Christine says, my vote is Gilbertians.
Gilbertians?
Gilbertians.
Well, you know
spelled
what?
Spelled like Gilbertian.
I went to the Google machine because you can find everything on the Google machine. I'm like, what do you call somebody from Gilbert, Arizona?
Gilbilly.
No!
No? That's a no.
Well, it's not really decided. Gilbertites?
Let's have a vote.
Gilberters?
Pamela,
Gilbot.
You can champion this. This could be your thing.
Yeah, this is what I want to hang my hat on. Okay. This is my legacy.
Yeah. You come up with what we call people from Gilbert.
Gilbot.
The ending in a T really throws them off, I think. That's the problem. Is it completely unexpected victim of the coronavirus? Because in this day and age where people get their news, there's finger quotes from Facebook memes, is it a surprise that Chinese neighborhoods, Chinatown in New York or San Fran, and Chinese restaurants are feeling the brunt of the coronavirus outbreak?
Walks are cold, tables empty, Chinatown deserted.
It's empty.
Helen Eng is the owner of Amazing 66 restaurant on Mott Street. She says business has dropped about 50%.
People are very concerned. We understand their feelings. But actually, it's hurting us too.
Blame it on coronavirus. Even though there are no confirmed cases in New York, just the fear of it seems to be keeping residents at home. For Helen, the pinch is especially hard because she refuses to let her staff be punished by the fear. She still pays them, even if no one is ordering any food.
All right, so let's be clear. It's not as though people think they're going to go get some egg drop soup and an egg roll and they're going to come down with coronavirus. That's not what's going on here. It's not necessarily about the food. We know that, what?
It's about the people, right? You don't want to be around Chinese people?
Well, that's the fear, because how do you get coronavirus in the United States? Mm-hmm. You've either gone to China and have come back and were exposed to it over there, or you've been exposed to someone here who's gone to China and has come back.
Okay.
Where in the United States do you go to be exposed to a huge group of people who potentially could have gone to China?
ASU. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Was that out loud?
That was out loud. Keep the thoughts to yourself.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, but that just, I'm saying that to prove kind of how silly it is.
It is silly, and I can concede that it is, in fact, silly. But you understand that a lot of the fear surrounding this is silly. And the reason the fear is silly is because even media outlets have done a really bad job at giving you perspective as to what's real and what's not.
Okay.
And I'm not going to, you know, just point a finger at our own industry. We also have to look at the information that we're given. You got to take a look at, like, the leader of the free world. Yes, President Trump saying things like this.
The virus. They're working hard. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true.
No, it doesn't miraculously go
away. It's not going to miraculously go away.
Because you know what? It's gotten warmer here. Think about what we went through in January. We had temperatures kissing 80 at some point in time. Guess what? Still had a case of coronavirus. I mean, critical thinking here, folks.
Yeah, now you're really asking a lot.
Oh,
now
man.
You went too far. You had me for just a little while there, but you went to critical thinking.
Oh,
I'm like, let's move on past that, right? But we still have this ship, this cruise ship, which is quarantined.
We got like a Scottsdale doctor and her husband that are on it. Yeah,
we're stuck on it.
Yeah.
Confined?
Like the 19th. Hold on. They're on it for another
week.
Week plus, yeah.
In confined to cabin, which.
Talk about cabin fever.
But we already acknowledge, even if you upgraded, aren't that big.
Right. You get a balcony. You can actually see the sun rise and set every day.
Oh, my God. I just think I might jump overboard at some point. I mean, that's it. I can't handle anymore. I'm going over. Going over the side. Who's with me? Come on. We're going over the side. No.
No.
We can't swim to shore.
No.
Super good swimmer.
No, you're not.
No.
Not that good.
Not that good a swimmer. My concern continues to be not that I'm going to get the coronavirus or it's going to spread throughout the United States, but that we don't know what we don't know. And that China is purposely downplaying, underplaying, or clouding the issue because of their concern of how it makes China look or how it impacts their economy.
Right. Right.
That's my worry.
And what would give you any indication that they would do that? Oh, I don't know. The facts. Remember the original doctor who was the whistleblower on this, who was then arrested?
Yeah.
For sharing this
information.
Trying to
tell people about it.
And eventually died from coronavirus. You have police in the different provinces that are punishing medical workers for sharing information about what's going on in their areas, right? They're censoring news. They're censoring social media. And not only does it keep their people, who unfortunately are probably used to not getting the truth from their government.
Again, they don't know what they don't know. They're not getting even the news we're getting.
But the thing is it also keeps us, the rest of the world,
right,
from knowing exactly what's going on. And it makes it harder for governments everywhere to keep track of it. I've heard reports of hospitals in China that are purposefully underreporting the death tally, the death total.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair to say that there's like an estimate, I forget how many, was it like 40,000 estimated cases around the globe right now?
Mm-hmm.
That number is probably closer to 80. To be honest with you, it's probably doubled because
right.
who goes and gets the test? Those that get sick, those that need, to go to the hospital to get their symptoms treated.
Think about this. How many people get a cold or the flu and never go to the doctor?
You.
Me.
You.
I've never been to the doctor for a cold or flu.
That's how many people are also not being included in the tally of those that are infected.
Are you telling me that Quill and Tussin will not solve the coronavirus?
No.
What if I mix them up? I sometimes
don't
double it up. Little Quill, little Tussin, I put it together in a shaker.
Man. Oh. You are like the quintessential bachelor.
It hasn't killed me yet. That's the that's what I've been operating
on. Yet.
Well, you know
yet.
What? Tomorrow is promised to no one. If the Quill and
start
Tussin
behaving
take me
like
out,
that, and you're kind of like increasing your odds,
if
man.
If the Quill and Tussin take me out, then so be it. The New Hampshire primary is today, tonight. Will we have a winner tonight? Do you think New Hampshire's figured this out?
How long have we gone where we're like, can we just name a winner?
Like have
That's
a
how
normal,
screwed up things are.
Like any semblance of normalcy, we'll give you the latest on that coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Okay, I realize I'm supposed to pay attention to the New Hampshire primary, but I'm hardly on the edge of my seat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, the reason why this is so important is because everybody keeps telling you it's so important.
Exactly.
I yet to believe that it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Same thing with Iowa.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, and big whoop, right? But this is the first, because Iowa was a caucus, or like we say, huge game of Red Rover. This is actual voting, and they voted at midnight because, again, this thing is, it is such a reality show to begin with that we had to have Dixville Notch.
The what?
What do you call people from Dixville Notch? Dixville Notchians? Dixville Notchetonians.
What is it?
It's a town. Dixville Notch.
You're saying this like I should know.
They vote at midnight every single year. It's the very first place to vote.
In New Hampshire.
It's the first place to vote in the country in every primary every year, every 4 years. And Michael Bloomberg won. Now, granted, five people voted. He got two of them.
The polls opened at 12 sharp. With only five voters, they closed at 12:02. But the numbers revealed a shocker. Out of four Democratic ballots, Mayor Michael Bloomberg got two write-in votes. Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg got one apiece. The lone registered Republican in the room voted not for Donald Trump, but opted to write in Michael Bloomberg as well. Meaning, with the first five votes cast, Michael Bloomberg finds himself leading both the Democratic and Republican primaries.
Yeah. He's going to win both.
Yeah, that's going to make some people.
But again, that just shows you what an absolute, ridiculousness this is when you have something like that happen. But they will be voting today. And if everything plays to what we believe, Bernie Sanders and Senator Sanders and Mayor Pete will have good days.
But isn't it interesting how in Iowa we have a caucus, which is a huge game of Red Rover.
Yep.
All right. You go to New Hampshire, it's an actual primary where you're voting, but both parties get to vote?
It is a little different because
are you voting? So you have Republicans
that
are voting.
You can strategically vote, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. We've heard a lot about 50% of the voters in New Hampshire have said, you know, roughly that they've already made up their mind. And of that 50%, the majority of them are going to be going for Bernie Sanders.
Got it.
Okay. The other 50% hadn't made up their mind yet. At least these are the polling numbers we heard, you know, walking up to all
of
this.
And he's from the neighboring state.
Right.
They know
him. Kind of. Yeah. It's not big. And at that point, do you have Republicans that are showing up and voting for, I mean, Donald Trump is going to be their candidate no matter what. So
they don't have to vote for him.
Are they voting for the person they want to run against?
Strategically voting.
And voting for?
The socialist guy.
Bernie Sanders, yeah.
For Bernie.
I wonder how many Republicans would vote for Bernie just to kind of keep that momentum of, hey, this is the guy that the Democrats, you know, we want to face it as Republicans.
And Pamela and I are not here to offer insight or strategery to the Democratic Party. But it strikes me that there is a real debate that they are having internally.
You say debate. It's an all-on civil war they've got going on within the Democratic Party.
Do they want to have this purity test of progressive beliefs, which is whatever it is, free whatever for everybody?
Yep. Pick something.
Or do they want to get elected president? Because I don't know if you're going to be able to do both.
You can't. No, you can't.
Here's an example. Arizona, swing state. We talked about that.
Yeah.
In Arizona, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are, all intents and purposes, tied, right?
Sure.
It's a close race. Not so close when you take Biden out and you put Bernie in. Trump wins pretty handily.
Here's what I think people need to recognize the Democrats are up against. Whether or not you like President Trump, he's an incumbent. And they typically win. And not only that, but the economy is booming. And while you may not be invested in the stock market, and while more of your paycheck may be going to expenses than it has in the past, and you may not be feeling this booming economy, if you've got a president that's running for re-election and the economy is doing well, it is almost a foregone conclusion that that person is going to win. That is what Democrats are up against. And who is going to be able to overcome that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But they can't even figure it out themselves. Usually after New Hampshire, you'll have a couple of candidates drop out, right? It gets a little bit smaller.
Keeps narrowing.
Yeah,
narrowing.
Like when Cory Booker, dropped out. Well, where do his supporters go?
Right.
You know, they have to start picking. Both of them. Pick a camp, right?
If you still have
all of these candidates in the race heading into Super Tuesday, and then they even dilute the delegate pool that much more. It's like, you know, you guys are just, you're cannibalizing your own party at that point in time.
I keep pointing.
And the candidate is going to be battered and bruised by the time they go up against a formidable opponent in President Trump.
I see a lot of parallels to 4 years ago.
But 4 years ago, I mean.
But you have a outsider who is not the establishment or the traditional style. Who has very passionate, loud supporters, and who is running as basically an outsider inside their political party. That's Bernie Sanders. And that was Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of differences, though, from Bernie to Donald Trump. And I'm not just talking politically or ideology. Bernie Sanders has been in the game before. Donald Trump never was. You have Donald Trump, who frankly also got a pass from the media. He was on every single morning show and cable news network whenever they wanted because nobody thought he was going to actually win. So what crazy thing is he going to say today? You're not seeing the media treat Bernie Sanders the same way. So I think that there are some differences between the two candidates, but I get what you're saying. Outsider, not somebody with whom the party normally would rally around.
4 years ago, would it have been any different if I can't even remember all the people running for Republican president?
Yeah, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, Jeb Bush.
If it was just one of them against Trump early on, you would have had a delineation.
Sure.
But they were all traditional versus non-traditional. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're seeing now in the D's?
Yeah,
you have traditional. Like
you have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders who are kind of doing one thing.
I think they're the bookend.
And then you've got Buttigieg, Biden, Klobuchar, Bloomberg.
Not a big difference between them. And if they're
both in their own lanes, yeah. And so who can break out from that lane and start pulling from the other lane?
Do we start finding tonight?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to wait until after Super Tuesday to see some people drop off.
I think New Hampshire alone is the reason why we're going to hell in a handbasket. But maybe you need to have your faith in humanity restored. Pamela says she can do that for you. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
I'm not going with COVID-19. I'm not going to do it. I'm going with coronavirus.
Because that's what everybody knows it as.
Like, it's too late. You can't change the name 3 weeks into the game.
3 weeks?
Since we've been talking about it.
Yeah. It was discovered in December.
COVID-19.
Nobody knows. If you said the number of COVID-19 cases have gone up, nobody knows what you're talking about.
No. By the way, it sounds like one of those drug commercials they do. COVID-19 may cause,
Fill in the blank.
A bunch of things. Have you driven on the brand new Loop 202? Pamela,
yeah,
you did.
I did.
It's like a super speedway, isn't it?
I love it.
You know, Daytona 500's this weekend. You can go practice on the 202.
No, don't do that.
No, you can't.
No,
don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Good choices.
But it is wide. Pretty straight. It's got some nice little curves to it. It goes through South Mountain Park, mm-hmm. Through the western part over there.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty.
And I drove it just because I was curious, because I used to live out there.
You had nothing better to do with your time.
I had nothing better to do.
That's really what it was. You were bored on a Saturday.
I think it was a Friday night.
Okay, you know what?
It was a Friday night or a Saturday night.
What else are you going to do on a Friday night other than hop in the car and
drove the new 202.
Sounds fun.
And I got off at the off-ramp that would be closest to where I used to live out there. And so,
did you go by your old house?
Drove by the old house.
Of course you
did. Still standing.
Were you amazed at how much it has grown since you left?
No.
No? Okay. No. Usually that's what people say.
But I will tell you that, surprised or not, it didn't seem like it was heavily used.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's new. It's only been open 2 months. Two, you have to be committing to go to the west side of the valley or California.
Because once you get past...
There's a thing called, mountains.
Ahwatukee. There's nothing to get off, and there's no reason to get off. There's a casino, and then there's a lot of nothing.
So it's been open for 2 months.
2 months!
Why are we talking about it now?
Por qué, why?
Well, because in just those 2 months... We're finding out that there's already problems with the pavement.
Wait a minute. How can there be problems already? Because we've acknowledged that it is hardly the most heavily traveled freeway.
Even if it was the most traveled freeway,
this still
in the
wouldn't be okay.
In 2 months, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Our friends over at AZ Family actually picked up on this and found that there are areas of the brand new, 2 month old Loop 202 where the asphalt, I'll use a term, it appears to be peeling up. And maybe it's not as big as a pothole yet, but it's very uneven in areas where it looks like it just wasn't done properly.
Well, if there's overpasses or there's some sort of transition, that's where they're starting to have this
from concrete into asphalt. Yeah.
But I mean, think about it this way. Let's say you have a contractor come over and they redo your driveway. And 2 months later, parts of it start chipping
peeling up. You're on the blower.
Absolutely.
Hey, buddy, get back over here.
Yeah, I think we need to be on the blower
as
well.
Bring the truck.
The question I have is, was this a rush job?
Oh.
And the reason why I ask is because the Loop 202 South Mountain opened 3 years ahead of schedule.
We cheered it opening early.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we want to get this thing done so we can use it. But was it rushed? Were subpar materials used? And is that what we're paying the price for now? And what price is that going to be?
So if you're driving on the brand new Loop 202, it might be a little bumpier or rockier than you thought, and that's because the freeway is peeling up in areas. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she restored your faith in humanity.
Bruce, have we decided what people from Arizona or from Gilbert are called yet? I'm from Gilbert.
Gilbillies. I'm going with that.
No, I'll go with Gilberters. All right. We got a Gilberter out there that is restoring your faith in humanity. In fact, it is a Gilbert police officer. This was a story that was posted on the town's Facebook page. And it's a sad story, but it also does restore your faith in humanity. There was an elderly woman who traveled from Illinois to Arizona and to Gilbert to meet up with someone who she thought was her boyfriend. You know, the expectation was they were going to be getting married soon. This is one of these elderly scams that unfortunately do happen. You go, how could people fall for that? Well, they do. They can be convincing. They can be good. And the woman spent the last of her money to travel to see this guy that she had a relationship with, or so she thought, for the last year or so. And you know what? She was scammed. She was left here in Arizona. No money, no family, nothing. You had Gilbert officer Adam Wallach, who had been called out to the Walmart there in Gilbert, Power and Ray Road, to check on an elderly woman, Bruce, who'd been sitting in a subway for almost 24 hours.
Whoa.
Right? And he began to talk to her and found out this whole story. She didn't have any money. And he goes, this could have been anyone's grandma. So he did the only thing that he could think of that was the right thing to do. He drove her to Sky Harbor Airport. He walked inside and he personally, with his own money, bought her a one-way ticket back to Chicago.
Goodness.
Back to her family, back to a place where he says she could thrive. Because here in Arizona, with no family, no money, and being scammed, she was barely even surviving. Hats off to you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for restoring my
above
and all
and
of ours, yes, faith in humanity.
Wow. Pamela doing a heck of a job of that today. Hey, we look through the double pane bulletproof glass. We've got DJ Tommy Two-Tone, super producer Stevie Z, and of course, we've got Bob McClay with all the news, traffic, weather, the info you need to know.